Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity here tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and
Amen.
Study it as a group of believers, Father. Mm-hmm. I just pray that you open our ears and our hearts tonight to the truth of your word here tonight, Father, that we'd be better equipped to serve you the remainder of this week and the days ahead, Father. We do once again want to pray for Christians around this world being persecuted and are struggling and whatever the case might be, Father. Just ask that you be with them, that you meet their needs as only you can, Father. Bring them through this and may you be glorified as a result of this. And we'll thank you.
Amen. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. If we just stop there, we could park there for a while tonight. Right now, as Christians in our land, it could be so easy to be discouraged as we see just sin so rampant all around us in the world. But it tells us here not to fret. It tells us here not to be envious against them. And verse 2 gives us one of the reasons why. For they shall soon be what? Cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also, what? In him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait, what? Patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to what?
Do evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it what?
Shall not be.
These are trying times. Trying times. God is being blasphemed every day. And the Lord, we know that this time would come. The Lord told us it'd be like the days of Noah. Notice in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You know, as patriotic Americans, we are stirred in our hearts when we see our country go downhill, when we see it given over to sin. Our hearts are stirred. But the stirring we need is not the stirring to grab our guns. The stirring we need is to pray to Almighty God, is what we need. But in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and what?
Knew not
until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So, in verse 38, so in the days of Noah, what was it like? Well, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. People were busy. They had plans. But in their plans, they were not thinking about the Lord and judgment falling. Noah was not just building an ark. He was also preaching. If you hold your place here in Matthew 24, let's go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Now, Noah wasn't just a quiet carpenter or shipbuilder, just day after day up there on the ship looking down at the people and this every once in a while, stopping working and quietly stroking his beard and looking at him, you know, contemplating the situation. No. 2 Peter 2:5. The Bible says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a what?
Preacher of righteousness,
bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I tell you, Noah had the biggest pulpit the world has ever known. It was huge. The ship, notice with me in Genesis 6 and verse 13. So he wasn't just a carpenter. He wasn't just a shipbuilder. He was a preacher. And he had a huge pulpit, that ship. In Genesis 6:13. The Bible says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be what?
300 cubits.
So a cubit is 18 inches. So 300 cubits would be 300 plus a half of 300. So what's that? 450. So the ark was 450 feet long. So 450 feet long. Let's see, 300, well, that's, my thoughts are fleeing there. But anyway, so the length is 450 feet long. Let's see here. And then verse 15, the breadth of it, how big? 50 cubits. So that'd be 75 feet wide. And the height of it, what?
30 cubits.
That'd be 45 feet high. So 450 feet long, I guess what I was thinking was a football field and a half long. Can you imagine that? Building something that would have to hold together. I mean, those of you who have built anything, any objects of very much size, you know, once you get longer than a piece of plywood and start piecing it, you've got to brace it somehow. I can't imagine. Have you ever thought about that, too? That was 75 feet wide. I don't know how tall they started building. And obviously, those of you who have tried to do something level in your yard soon find out your yard is not level. Like if you want to flood a little area for ice skating, you'll find out real quick just how out of level your yard really is. Or if you want to pour a slab of cement and you think, well, that looks pretty level, and then you get out there and, wow, that isn't level. So can you imagine 450 feet long? So a football field and a half long, you've got to come up with a level spot. And remember, you've got to hook boards to the bottom side of that. Have you ever thought about how high or low they propped that up to start building the ark? I mean, just think of the framework. How many of you have ever seen a house moved, a whole house moved? Okay. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? How they jack that whole thing up and then get it off the basement and move it. It's pretty amazing how it just doesn't all fall apart, isn't it? Well, imagine with the ark having, just imagine how much lumber would be involved in making a level spot, a football field and a half long and 75 feet wide, so you can get underneath there to work on those boards, the bottom of the ark. The first house, the first new house we built, we decided because of lack of funds to build it with a crawl space. And after that, I decided to never do that again. I couldn't tell you how many times I had to crawl under that house and back out. Plumbing, ductwork, electrical, in and out, in and out. It was terrible. Can you imagine? And our house was not 75 feet long nor wide. But can you imagine Noah and his sons having to keep going under that ark? I mean, maybe they were smart enough. Those of you who have to work on your own cars, often think, oh, it would be nice to have a hoist. You know, the mechanics just walk under it and work on it. And we crawl under our cars and try to get up in there, you know, to whatever we're working on. But can you imagine Noah and his sons under that ark, back, under all the lumber you're carrying and all, and then to pitch it down in there. Just amazing. There's so many things we don't think about in the process of building that ark. So I can't imagine how many timbers were used just to level the structure and hold it up enough to work on it underneath. Can you imagine how many tons of lumber the ark had? Three stories high? If when you leave tonight, if you look back at the church, hopefully you won't turn into a pillar of salt if you look back. But if you do look back, imagine that's about the end view of the ark, because the very tip of the steeple is 46 feet. The ark was 45. So it was that tall. The ark was 75 feet wide. On the front, the church is 80. So it's almost the perfect silhouette of the ark. 46 feet high, and the church is 80. So very close to the dimensions of the ark. And then a football field and a half long. The church building here isn't quite that long. Football field and a half long. Can you imagine the weight involved in such a structure? I can't imagine the timbers they had at different points just holding all of that up to make sure it didn't collapse on them. So what a work. I mean, they had a huge engineering project underway there, but that wasn't all Noah was doing. He was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of repentance. But notice back in Matthew 24 what happened. Matthew 24 in verse 39. Let's back up just to verse 38 to get the context again. It says, "For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." And what?
Knew not
until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I don't know what kind of flash flooding was going on. Have any of you ever lived in a part of the country where flash flooding was a danger? Okay, maybe Sister Laura. Around here, there's, you know, maybe if you're in an area like, I don't know, really low around a river around here, maybe you could face that. But we're not talking about places like maybe like in Texas, or maybe someplace where there are mountains where you can have a flash flood just, and you can be carried right away. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, when we lived there, whenever it rained in the lower parts, I can recall many times seeing manholes that had been removed because of the pressure of the water rushing down there. And it was like a fountain, the size, the diameter of a manhole just gushing up. And down there they told you never drive through deep water because not only might you stall, but you could go down, or one of your tires could go down in one of those manholes, and then you would be stuck there. So but it says here, verse 39, "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away." Now, people were not listening to Noah. And, you know, it's just hard to imagine. He's building this giant ship on dry land. And yet when the flood came, it says they knew not. And it took them all away. It's like it caught them totally off guard. How can a flood catch you off guard when this guy's been building this huge ship on dry land and preaching about the judgment to come? How could it catch them off guard? Because they weren't listening. To them, it was like he's a fanatic. He's a crazy man. And so they didn't even give it a second thought what this guy was saying. All they knew was he's weird. He's building the ship on dry land. And you know what? They look at us the same way when we talk about Jesus coming back. They just tune us right out. And you know what the Bible says? Well, let's go to Matthew 24. Maybe you're back there again, but in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was true in those days? Verse 39, they knew not until the flood came. And they're not going to know what happened. They're going to be shocked when the rapture happens. Christians are suddenly going to be gone. And of course, Satan, I'm sure, is working on his lie to tell them about when we're all gone, when we're missing. You know, as I said Sunday, you know, there's the evolutionists. Some of them now are kind of scratching the idea of the Big Bang because there's been no evidence. And the more and more scientific research that's been done just proves that couldn't have been. But so now some of them are actually thinking there are higher beings out there, aliens, and they must have visited here and got this race going. And then, you know, so, you know, what will they say then? Will they say there was an alien invasion and took a bunch of people? Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they would say that. But the point is that they're going to be shocked. They're not going to know. Even though they've heard it over and over and over and over, they weren't listening. So the busyness, the unbelief of the people of Noah's day is just like today. Notice in Genesis 6:5. Busyness and unbelief. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continually. I think that really describes Hollywood, is what I think. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That about sums it up. So that leads us into the next part in Luke 17. So the Lord's return is likened unto the days of Noah, and also likened to the days of Lot. In Luke 17:28, likewise also as it was in the days of who? Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it took all those people by surprise. The same day Lot went out, destruction came. So similar to the days of Noah, compare these two passages, Luke 17:28 with Matthew 24:38. Compare these two passages. Let's look at Matthew 24:38 first. Matthew 24:38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Compare that verse with Luke 17:28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Now, several things are mentioned in Luke 17:28 that were not mentioned in Matthew 24. But what is one of the things mentioned in Matthew 24 that is not mentioned in Luke 17:28? Can you compare them? Matthew 24:38 and Luke 17:28. Marriage is not mentioned in Luke 17:28, but it is in Matthew 24:38. And you know, doesn't that just fit in with today? The rise of sodomy. And notice in Genesis 19. So in the days of Lot, it doesn't mention anything to do with marriage in Luke 17:28 when referring to the days of Lot. Why was that? Genesis 19, verse 4. Genesis 19, 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the, who?
Men.
The men which came into thee this night. Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so what? Wickedly. So these were Sodomites. They weren't after Lot's daughters. They were after the men, the visitors, who were actually angels there. So just like it is happening in our day. You think of leaders. I want to go back to Psalm 37. You know, sometimes people get so angry with leaders, they make foolish decisions and talk foolishly about it. But in Psalm 37:1, fret not thyself because of who?
Evildoers.
Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be what? Cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. One example of that is with the governor of New York, or I should say the former governor of New York. CNS News from back in January 23rd of 19 says New York governor, and I won't say his name because you all know it anyway, the New York governor signed into law a bill on Tuesday that legalizes late-term abortion, timed to coincide with the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And in the room, I've seen the picture many times. In the room, he had sitting beside him the lawyer that argued Roe versus Wade in 1973. Everybody in the room is smiling. The governor has a big smile on his face as he's signing this legislation, making it the easiest state in the union to get an abortion late, late term. And so they're all smiles and happy. And, you know, there's been a lot of Christians that have been so grieved because of what he did in regard to abortion. But you know what? Verse 2, what does it say? These evildoers, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So you see, we don't have to plot against these people. The Bible is true. We have seen the fulfillment of Psalm 37 in the life of the governor of New York. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be what? Cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall what? Not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider what? His place, and it what? Shall not be. So, you know, we didn't have to go around plotting against this man. Really, this man and all others like him, what should we be doing? Praying for their repentance and salvation. That's, and we still should. You know, vengeance is the Lord's. Not ours, not our, it's not, it doesn't belong to us. So we have seen the fulfillment of Psalm 37. We have seen a man who has been very arrogant. I mean, even his own Catholic religion, the priest at one time, been so upset with him and spoke against him, saying he should be excommunicated. And they were powerless to do anything. But you know what? We have seen in our lifetimes Psalm 37 come to pass. The evildoers are cut off because they have fought against God and against His Word. Now, it's the same way in California. These last two, well, maybe more than that, but especially these last two governors of California have been so vile, so shaking their fist at God with abortion and sodomy. It's been horrible. But so what do Christians do? We should pray for their repentance and salvation is what we should do. But interestingly, the recall is going forward, I believe it's September 14th, against the governor of California. I do not know how that is going to go exactly, but I do believe Psalm 37. This governor, this present governor they have in last year signed into law a bill requiring that transgender inmates in prisons get to choose the area they want to be housed in. In other words, if you have a man who says he's a woman, and so he wants to be housed with the women, they have to do it because of their governor signing this into law. So, you know, we just shudder to think about people that do things like that. But you know what? Right now, the governor that seems so smug and arrogant is kind of afraid right now. And I do not know how the Lord will bring that out, but I do know what happened to the governor of New York, and I do know what is in the process right now against the governor of California. And these, both of these men have been so vile and shaking their fist at God and His Word. But I tell you, as Christians, let's read it again, Psalm 37:1. Fret, let's read this together. Let's read the first two verses together of Psalm 37. Okay. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And let's read verses 9 and 10. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. So we need to rest in the Lord. Let's not quit praying for these people. Even if they're removed for office, let's not be joyous and smug at what happened to them. Let's pray for their souls. God still wants them to be saved, and we should want them to be saved too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we know that you get no joy out of the judgment upon the wicked, but you long for them to repent. And Lord, I pray that would be our heart's desire as well. Help us not to be saying in our hearts, yeah, they got what was deserving them. Lord, help us to pray for them, to pray that they would repent and get saved. These same people have no clue what is coming upon them, the judgment in an eternal lake of fire, just like the people of Noah's day, seeing that huge ship being built day after day, hearing that shipbuilder preacher preach off the deck, telling them to repent. It did not sink in. They knew that when the flood came and took them away, they were shocked. And Lord, we know your days are also the days of your coming are likened unto the days of Lot. And Lord, we see it. We see the sodomy rising up just as violently as in the days of Sodom and as the days in Gibeah. Always violent, demanding, hating for their lifestyle to be called wicked. They just come unglued. It's the same today. Lord, help us to be watching and waiting as we see these things happen before us, knowing that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, knowing that the people in our day are going to be caught off guard, just like in Noah and Lot's days. Father, please help us to be able to reach them. Help us not to become discouraged and give up. And on the other hand, Lord, help us not to become violent, thinking that we're going to start a war and win it that way. Lord, we rest on your power and your might. And we pray for these to be saved. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on that cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his pure and righteous blood was enough to pay for all of our sin. Father, please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, let's turn to 400.